Welcome to the Hour of the Time. I'm your host, William Cooper. Well, folks, I have good news, probably the best news that I've had in quite some time. The Hour of the Time has been offered a primetime late-night slot immediately following Tom Valentine, Monday through Friday. That means, folks, that if we can pull this off, you will be able to hear this show every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday nights immediately following the Tom Valentine show. This is a tremendous break for us, and it means that we will be addressing a potential audience of maybe hundreds of millions of people around the world. Instead of 1 a.m. Monday mornings, Eastern Standard Time, we will then be 9 Pacific, 10 Mountain, 11 Central, and midnight Eastern. We will have a much larger audience, and 5 nights a week, we can put out a tremendous amount of information. Remember, this show is dedicated to the preservation of the Constitution of the United States of America. The restoration of that document is the supreme law of the land to save this country and thus freedom for the world. If you'd like to help with that, folks, we're going to ask you to help us make this dream come true. And it is a dream. You all know how hard it is to get anyone in a position on the media where we can put out information that is normally suppressed by the establishment media. That's why it is so important that we accomplish this goal. My wife and I are putting up every penny that we have, and we are selling many of our personal possessions to make this happen. And we're still going to be short. We need donations from you who want to make sure that we do this, who would like to hear the Hour of the Time on 1 hour each night, Monday through Friday night, immediately following the Tom Valentine Show here on WWCR Worldwide Shortwave Radio. So, if you would like to help, send donations in any amount, in any amount. Now, do not send cash. Do not make checks or money orders out to me. Make them out to WWCR, for they will go to pay for airtime and nothing else. Make them out to WWCR. Send a check or money order only. Nothing else. We don't want cash. We don't want anything that can get lost or cause any problems. So make a check or money order out to WWCR. Send it to Stan, Post Office Box 889, Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322. That's Stan at Post Office Box 889, Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322. You can call Stan and talk to him about this if you'd like at area code 602-567-6109. That's 602-567-6109. I might add that it's those of you who wrote letters to WWCR and called WWCR in support of this program that made this possible. And I thank you deeply. All of us in the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence Network, thank you. Now, if we all pull together, and if you can reach into your pockets and come up with something, doesn't matter, any donation in any amount will be appreciated. We believe that we can make this happen. And if we can, the first broadcast of the Hour of the Time will air in the new schedule on Monday night, January the 4th, 1993. So folks, if you want to see this happen, get busy right now. We need your help. Remember, my policy is to always give you real worth for your money. What is the real worth that you will derive if you donate to help us make this shift in schedule and air 1 hour a night, 5 nights a week? Folks, you will get a minimum of 20 times the information that we were able to put out airing just 1 night each week. And if we don't make this happen, we're still going to be on 1 night each week in this time slot. So don't worry, you won't lose us. But wouldn't it be nice to have 20 times the amount of suppressed information come into your homes via this program that you would never be able to hear in any other manner? Now, if you think that that's a good thing, make your checks or money orders out to WWCR and send them to Stan, P.O. Box 889, Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322. That's P.O. Box 889. Camp, spelled C-A-M-P. Verde, it's Spanish for green, and it's spelled V as in Victor. E-R-D-E. Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322. From the headquarters of the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence, the Food and Drug Administration has declared war on the American people. SWAT team terrorist raids are being conducted across this country. What's at stake? Only freedom and your health. Stay tuned, folks. Once again, you are not going to believe your ears. Well, I'm sure that many of you remember the Hour of the Time episode devoted to the raid of the Tahoma Medical Clinic, where Dr. Jonathan Wright had been practicing for some 20 years with never one complaint being made against him by any of his patients and no ill health suffered by anyone because of his treatment. What was his treatment? Why, nutritional supplements, vitamins, minerals, and of course, Jonathan Wright was a regular MD medical doctor, highly trained, and was harassed, raided, terrorized. Every single piece of his possessions, which were not nailed down inside the Tahoma Medical Clinic, were confiscated by the Food and Drug Administration. Yet no charges were ever filed against anyone, including Dr. Wright, and none of his possessions have ever, ever been returned. We have an update from the Jonathan Wright Legal Defense and Victory Fund, which some of you have contributed to. And they say, thanks to your generous contribution, the Defense and Victory Fund has accomplished quite a bit since the guns-drawn raid of Tahoma Clinic on May 6, 1992. As Dr. Wright emphasized at the Dallas ACAM meeting, the fund intends positive achievements for the health care rights of practitioners and patients, not just legal defense of the clinic. A listing of some of what has been done follows. We have produced and distributed to the media, public and Congress, 2,000 copies of FDA versus the People of the United States, 5 years of assault on self-care. The report documents 18 instances of FDA raids on clinics, supplement manufacturers, and health food stores. It has proven to skeptical reporters and congressmen that an apparent pattern of bias by the FDA against natural health care really does exist and isn't just paranoia. And unfortunately, this report is just preliminary. We're working on more. Tonight, you're going to hear that report. But first, I want to read to you a few of the things that are in this communique to me from the Jonathan Wright Legal Defense Fund. And some of it's pretty interesting. On August 11th, Dr. Wright filed suit against the FDA seeking recovery of property taken and, more importantly, seeking to resolve the issue of whether the FDA can intrude on the practice of a licensed physician or interfere with the right of individuals to seek out whatever health care they wish. All of this has been made possible with your help, of course. And with your help, we'll continue to campaign until passage of the Health Care Freedom Acts and until we return the FDA to its position stated in the FDA Drug Bulletin of October 1972. And here's what it said in their bulletin, folks. Make sure that you listen to this closely. Quote, Congress did not intend the Food and Drug Administration to interfere with medical practice. Congress recognized a patient's right to seek civil damages in the courts if there should be evidence of malpractice and declined to provide any legislative restrictions on the medical profession, unquote. Well, now that's right in the FDA Drug Bulletin of October 1972. Now guess what else has happened? Since the tremendous media attack on the FDA and since the airing of the great vitamin B drug raid on this radio show and many others, the FDA has convened a federal grand jury to try to find felony crimes at Tahoma Clinic. Subpoenas have been served on Tahoma Clinic employees and those of Meridian Valley Clinical Laboratory. George Cody, clinic attorney, points out that all allegations contained in the FDR's own affidavit and search warrants for the May 6th raids were alleged misdemeanors. But grand juries only investigate felony crime. Grand jury investigators allow no defense. No defense attorneys are even allowed in the room, and no reporters are allowed to observe. Any new crimes will be discovered in complete secrecy. We've been told these proceedings will be very expensive. It is obvious, dear listeners, that the Food and Drug Administration is not finished with Dr. Wright or alternative medicine or you. They need your help now more than ever. If you'd like to send a contribution to the Dr. Jonathan Wright Legal Defense and Victory Fund, send it in any amount to P.O. Box 368. That's P.O. Box 368. Tacoma, Washington, 98401. One more time. Dr. Jonathan Wright Legal Defense and Victory Fund, Post Office Box 368, Tacoma, Washington, 98401. Now, nobody got killed in this raid, and the charges that are going to come out of this grand jury, if any charges come out of it, won't be as serious, but folks, this is no different than the Randy Weaver episode. It just is another way to take our freedoms away from us, the American people. Now, there's some easy actions to take to defend your medical freedom of choice. And this comes to us from Julian Whitaker, MD. You are both target and victim, folks, of a movement that seeks to deprive you of the nutritional tools you need to stay healthy and prevent debilitating illness. Studies in reputable scientific journals around the world document the health-producing qualities of nutritional supplements. Yet the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, working hand in glove with the giant pharmaceutical companies, wages war against the manufacturers and distributors of nutritional supplements and against the doctors who employ them to help their patients. Now, if you don't think this is true, look into the background of George Bush and Dan Quayle, and you'll see that both of them have been financially involved with Lilly Pharmaceutical. And George Bush even served on their board of directors. The Quayle family has a large interest, financial interest, ownership in Lilly Pharmaceutical. And you'll find that most of the people in executive positions who work for the Food and Drug Administration when they retire go to work for pharmaceutical companies. It's just like Congress, folks. Corrupt to the core. If we do nothing to stop this, you'll soon have to drive to Canada to get vitamin C. And I'll be prohibited from even telling you about breakthroughs in nutritional medicine. You'll be left with only toxic prescription drugs that by themselves kill hundreds of people each year. We urge you to take two easy steps to help restore your medical choices. They'll take just a couple of minutes of your time, but your payoff can be your own help for now and in the future. You see, the Food and Drug Administration is destroying your chances for optimum health by destroying the nutritional supplement industry. And that includes just simple vitamins and minerals that most of you take almost every day. It is doing this with product seizures, intolerable regulations, and armed raids against nutritional manufacturers, distributors, and nutritionally oriented physicians. And I might add that this is all unconstitutional and against the charter of the FDA and the intent of Congress when they formed the FDA. Just a couple of months ago, the Texas Department of Health, acting to enforce newly minted FDA regulations on nutritional supplement labeling, raided health food stores all over the state and confiscated over 200 products. The list of products confiscated was over 18 pages long and included vitamin C, coenzyme Q10, aloe vera, various herb teas, and other well-known popular products, including Immunoplex 402, the exciting subject of this month's issue of Health and Healing. Over the last 5 years, there have been at least 19 violent armed raids, often with guns drawn, against nutritional supplement manufacturers, distributors, and nutritionally oriented physicians. 14 folks have occurred in the last 2 years. That's almost one raid every 2 months, and those are only the ones that we know about that they were not successful in covering up. The FDA has seized millions of dollars of products and equipment and terrorized those who worked for these companies, all for the purpose of investigating possible wrongdoing. However, in none of the cases has the FDA filed any criminal charges, and in none of the cases has it returned any property. Read your Constitution, and you'll see that that is unconstitutional also. If a company wants its property back, it must sue the FDA in federal court and bear the legal expense of such. Most of the companies just fold. The FDA stomps on the Fourth Amendment of the Bill of Rights, which specifically protects the public from unlawful search and seizure by the state. It also stomps on the Seventh Amendment, which guarantees the right of a speedy trial by jury. It also stomps on other sections of the Constitution, which say that no property can be confiscated from American citizens without just compensation, and many other clauses. We never even get to the Seventh Amendment, since the FDA generally just seizes property without filing criminal charges. There is no trial, speedy or otherwise. You probably have never heard of Highland Laboratories, Traco Laboratories, Thorne Industries, or Omniopathy, small, sophisticated nutritional supplement manufacturers that for the most part supply physicians. All of them were hit with violent, armed, and in some cases, guns-drawn search and seizure raids, yet no criminal charges have ever been filed. Another way the FDA seeks to deprive you of health choices is by harassing nutritionally oriented doctors. The FDA hates doctors who use nutrients to help their patients, and here's an example. Yiwen Tang, MD, in Reno, Nevada, uses nutritional supplements in his practice. Patients have come to his clinic from all over the world. On September 6, 1990, the FDA raided his medical offices, seizing over $50,000 worth of medical equipment and nutritional supplements. The FDA filed no criminal charges, and Dr. Tang sued to have his property returned. The FDA's response to this suit was another raid, just like Jonathan Wright. They let him alone until he sued, and then they raided him again with terrorist tactics and SWAT teams and guns. This time, when they raided Dr. Tang, this time they confiscated over $60,000 worth of equipment, nutrients, and homeopathic remedies, as well as about $10,000 in checks. Office manager Monica Malberg was stripped and searched to her bare skin, and Dr. Cora Cole stripped and searched to her undergarments. Dr. Cole is a homeopathic physician licensed by the state of Nevada. They did not find anything, and I do not know what they were looking for, but the humiliation of these two women sent an obvious message, and that was the real intent of the strip searches. No criminal charges have been filed since the second raid, and the suits to get the property back are still meandering through the court system. When in fact, folks, they shouldn't even be in the court system. It's obviously illegal and unconstitutional. And the district attorney or the Justice Department should be pursuing the FDA as criminals and should force them to return the property. Why should these people have to bring suit against a government agency who is obviously violating the law in the Constitution? Well, folks, it's to force these people out of business and for no other reason. The FDA is accomplishing its mission. Would you work in an industry where your biggest fear is not a slumping economy, but that FDA agents can seize your products without cause or explanation, or filing criminal charges, or even acknowledging your existence? Would you work for a doctor who uses vitamins in his practice knowing that you might get strip searched by government agents? There was no outcry against these raids because the public was unaware of them, and many people still believe that the government is working in their best interest, and most can't believe that an American agency, the FDA, has become a violent Gestapo. But then they raided Dr. Jonathan Wright and things changed. This guns-drawn raid may be the undoing of the FDA, for it has galvanized nutritional physicians, the nutritional industry, and the 60 million Americans who routinely take nutritional supplements. Dr. Wright, folks, is a graduate of Harvard College and the University of Michigan Medical School. He has been in the same location for over 20 years without a single patient's complaint or evidence of any patient injury. He is an internationally respected expert on nutritional medicine, and along with Alan Gaby, MD, from Baltimore, Maryland, puts on educational seminars for physicians across the country. For the full story of the raid, you can order our tape on the great Vitamin B raid. And for non-CAGI members, that's $15 plus $2.50 postage and handling. For CAGI members, of course, it's $5 plus $2.50 postage and handling. It will open your eyes, folks. It will open your eyes. On a Larry King Live broadcast, FDA's Mary Pendergast, senior advisor to FDA Commissioner David Kessler, defended the guns-drawn raid of Dr. Wright's medical offices. She stated that he was also selling, this is a quote, folks, quote, he was also selling and dispensing to his patients moldy injectable drugs, which could also kill you. When we tried to find out what was going on at Dr. Wright's clinic and in this clandestine manufacturing facility, Dr. Wright would not let us in. So when we followed up on those moldy injectables, we learned that they were being made in a room in part of Dr. Wright's clinic, unquote. And folks, that was a blatant lie. I'm saying this on the air. That was a blatant lie. Mary Pendergast, you lied. If you didn't lie, sue me. You lied. And you knew that you lied. As Dr. Wright has pointed out, and as the media who were on the scene found out, the FDA never tried to contact him or his lawyer with any questions before his offices were raided. This has been proven. Dr. Wright has also pointed out that nowhere in the affidavit nor in the search warrant signed by Seattle Judge John Weinberg were drugs of any kind even mentioned. No mention of any drugs. There was no mention of any clandestine manufacturing operation or manufacturing room in his offices, and nor did they find any. In addition, the moldy injectable was not a drug, but an injectable form of magnesium. It was not mentioned in the affidavit either, nor was it obtained during the raid. It was found by FDA agents 6 months before the raid in a trash bin used by Dr. Wright's clinic and a pharmacy, and they don't know whether it came from Dr. Wright's clinic or the pharmacy, but the reason it was in the trash is because it was moldy and it was thrown away, not to be used. The FDA has no idea where it came from or even when it got moldy. I wonder, folks, what they would find in a hospital trash bin. If they found moldy bread in your garbage, would they accuse you of poisoning your family? What crap! Other statements of Ms. Pendergast in this nationally broadcast show were even more astounding. When asked by a caller how many people are on record of having died from either vitamins or minerals, she said this, quote, I couldn't tell you the total number of people who have died from vitamin and mineral overdoses, but it certainly happens every year. For records we had from poison control agencies in 1988, 16,000 people had overdoses of lead. 6 of them died. Vitamin A kills a dozen or so people every year. Overdoses. At overdoses, it's a toxic drug, a toxic product, unquote. Again, lies. Lead poisoning? Is she off her rocker? She was asked how many people on record have died from either vitamins or minerals, and she's talking about lead poisoning? Have you ever gone to your health food store and been able to buy lead tablets, lead capsules? Have you ever picked up a nutritional supplement who had lead as an ingredient? Is she off her rocker? No, folks, she's intentionally lying again. The lead in our environment and subsequent lead poisoning comes from paint chips and exposure to lead in industry. The only relationship lead poisoning has to the nutritional supplement industry is that substantial doses of B-complex and trace minerals are surprisingly effective in the treatment and prevention of lead poisoning. Prevention of lead poisoning. And that was discussed in the September 1992 issue of Health and Healing. Vitamins don't kill people, folks. Drugs do. As far as deaths from nutritional supplements in general, or vitamin A in particular, are concerned, Dr. Wright cited a report on the toxicity of vitamins and minerals published in the Journal of Emergency Medicine from the Association of American Poison Control Centers for the years 1983 to 1987. All the generally taken nutritional supplements, including vitamin A, were listed separately. During that five-year period, there were no deaths, no deaths. No deaths from any vitamin or mineral supplement. About 60 million people routinely take nutritional supplements, and since they are over-the-counter, 240 million people are at risk. In spite of this truly massive exposure, there were no deaths in 5 years. The fact is, scientific studies have already proven that nutritional supplements are saving lives, not taking them. By thwarting this information, the FDA is killing tens of thousands of people each year. And people like Mary Pendergast, who we trust in positions in our government, intentionally break the law and then intentionally lie to cover up what they're doing. All the time. Imagine the senior advisor to the commissioner of the FDA doesn't know the reported toxicity of the most commonly taken vitamins and minerals. Yet that agency is looting nutritional supplement manufacturers and innovative physicians under the guise of protecting the public. If you want to find someone like Ms. Pendergast, where the hell would you look? Well, where do you find people like this? And who's appointing them to positions of power in these agencies in our government? The report cited by Dr. Wright also listed prescription and non-prescription drugs by categories such as analgesics, asthma therapies, and cardiovascular drugs. During the same time period, there were 1,132 deaths from these drugs, with the death rate going up each year. Well, I'll bet you don't like what you're hearing, folks, and I don't like it either. If you'd like to help put a stop to this, if you'd like to help Jonathan Wright and his lawsuit, which is going to go a long way to stop this, send contributions in any amount to Dr. Jonathan Wright, Legal Defense and Victory Fund. That's Dr. Jonathan Wright, Legal Defense and Victory Fund. Post Office Box 368, Tacoma, Washington, 98401. That's the Dr. Jonathan Wright, Legal Defense and Victory Fund. Post Office Box 368, Tacoma, Washington, 98401. Or you can call and talk to someone there at 206-631-8920. That's 206-631-8920. We're going to take a little break here, folks, so don't go away. Don't change your dial. I will be right back right after this very short pause.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California. I saw below me that golden valley.
this land is our land, and it's about time that we, the citizens of this country, take it back. It's in the hands of some pretty gruesome characters right now. As you're going to hear, as I recount to you the contents of this report, a preliminary report prepared by the Dr. Jonathan Wright Legal Defense and Victory Fund of 5 years of assault on self-care, entitled The FDA versus the People of the United States. 20th century scientific research has spawned an entirely unique phenomenon, modern folk medicine, a tradition born, nurtured, and grown to the verge of maturity within the lifespan of the eldest among us. Although this modern folk medicine is slowly spreading around the globe, it is still largely an American creation. Travelers from around the world are amazed to observe the profusion and abundance of vitamin, mineral, amino acid, and other food supplement items available not only in thousands of health food stores, but also in supermarkets, drugstores, and 24-hour convenience stores. Hundreds of multi-level marketing plans bring us vitamins from our friends and next-door neighbors. Self-care with vitamins and minerals is incredibly woven into American culture and has become a uniquely American folk medicine in less than 80 years. Self-care, folks, itself has become a fundamental American right, spurred on by the aging of the baby boom generation and by the incredibly escalating costs of professionally provided disease care, largely featuring toxic drugs, surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. An increasing number of us are exploring wellness through self-care, physical fitness, herbal and botanical remedies, stress reduction and meditation, proper diet, and our, quote, American folk medicine, unquote, of vitamin and mineral supplementation are all means of self-care firmly embraced by the people of the United States. Behind the transparent disguise of consumer protection, the armed forces of the Food and Drug Administration are fighting a desperate rearguard action against this overwhelming cultural trend. Like the palace guard of many an ancient regime, their pistol-packing centurions fight to maintain a dying status quo, in this case, the status quo of a disease care industry that is literally bankrupting America, an industry of professionals whose word is no longer accepted as gospel, but only as a first opinion to be followed by a second opinion increasingly found in what's loosely referred to as alternative medicine. FDA's desperation attacks against the new American folk medicine of dietary supplementation have two major thrusts: forcible seizure of harmless products used in self-care, and deliberate suppression of information of products. They cannot employ them in self-care and will be forced to return to the professionals for the resulting symptoms of ill health. Now we're going to go through 18 of these people who have been literally terrorized, most of them out of business. February the 26th, 1987, Life Extension Foundation, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Food and Drug Administration agents, accompanied by armed U.S. Marshals, broke down the doors of the Hollywood, Florida, and Dania, Florida, offices of the Life Extension Foundation. Was a nonprofit, tax-exempt foundation that provides group buying capability to several thousand citizens who wish to purchase vitamins and nutrient products. In the 12 hours allowed in the warrant, the agents seized every file, nutrient, and newsletter they were able to load on a rental truck, all of which were confiscated. The director of the foundation commented, quote, "They literally ripped the computer and telephone wiring out of the walls in their haste," unquote. On January 9, 1991, 4 years later, FDA agents, joined by other agents flown in from another state, raided the distribution center of Life Extension International in Tempe, Arizona, and placed an embargo on 42 of the company's most popular selling products, consisting more than 70% of the company's income. None of these products were illegal. Records were seized and employees were intimidated into thinking that they were committing a crime by shipping illegal drugs, none of which of these nutritional supplements were ever illegal. The raid took 3 days to complete. A well-documented lawsuit was filed against the FDA to block the embargo. On January 24, 1991, the Arizona Attorney General was briefed by the attorneys working on behalf of Life Extension, who were able to show the degree of the FDA's illegal activities in the case. The Attorney General ordered the Board of Pharmacy of Arizona to lift the embargo within hours after the meeting. The members of Life Extension Foundation are now requesting a congressional investigation of the illegal activities of the FDA, and this program, The Hour of the Time, and me, William Cooper, urge you to do so also. November 1988, Traco Laboratory, Champaign, Illinois. The FDA, accompanied by U.S. Marshals, seized a large quantity of black currant oil belonging to Traco Labs of Champaign, Illinois. The agents who were carrying out their duties for the FDA confiscated the 5 drums as well as a large quantity of the product in capsulized form while en route from the Canadian manufacturer. It is unknown how the FDA was able to keep the vehicle under surveillance during shipment and subsequently rush in and seize the product by the roadside. They used to call this hijacking. Agents of the FDA asked the owner of the company, quote, "What do you plan to do with the extract?" unquote. He replied by stating that, quote, "The FDA had recently approved black currant oil," unquote. The agent threatened to prosecute him to the fullest extent of the law if he sold another drop. The FDA then asked that all of the original paperwork on the approval of the extract be returned to them, claiming that it, quote, contained an unsafe additive, unquote, which was a blatant lie. The extract was not illegal and was approved by the FDA. Yet, the extract contained nothing more than that which nature provided. The FDA contended that the public was in extreme danger if the extract was allowed to be sold, another lie. Traco Laboratories sued the FDA and won. In the order issued by the U.S. District Court of Illinois on April 10, 1991, the court denied the FDA's move for a judgment against Traco Labs in that the FDA failed to show that there was a genuine issue for a judgment. The judge reprimanded the FDA for seizing and embargoing the product, commenting that the FDA had misrepresented the FD&C Act section on food additives. The FDA failed to show that not only was BCO not an unsafe food additive, that it wasn't a food additive at all. The product was to be distributed in capsules as well as in bottles for consumption. Solid Gold Pet Foods, September 1989 in El Cajon, California. And this is a really doozy, boys. I'm telling you, she was selling cat food and they confiscated it. Mrs. Sissy Harrington McGill, the owner of Solid Gold Pet Foods, received a telephone call from an unidentified person claiming to be a court official who refused to identify himself, stating that Mrs. Harrington McGill should be aware that she was to appear in court on September 25, 1989 at 10 a.m. to answer the charges of illegal labeling practices. In fact, she had not received a summons to appear in court or anything else other than this anonymous call. Mrs. Harrington McGill felt that she should at least appear to investigate the matter, in that she had been in an ongoing and exhaustive battle with FDA officials for at least 12 years prior to this time. The FDA continually made her relabel her natural pet food products time and time again, claiming that she, quote, could not claim the food was a healthier diet for animals, unquote, or that it was unlawful to state that, quote, your pet would live a longer and healthier life with natural vitamin-enriched pet food, unquote. Mrs. Harrington McGill says that each time she would change the labels and request an approval from the FDA on the changes, they would give verbal approval and would return to confiscate the foods that had been relabeled. When Mrs. Harrington McGill appeared in court that day, the judge dismissed the case on the grounds that she had not been served a summons. Now, folks, I was not aware that the FDA should be telling cats and dogs what they should eat. I mean, how many of you don't even buy cat food or dog food, but just give your dog scraps from the table or some other type of food? Could you go to jail for doing that? Are you in violation of the FDA's pet food rules? Folks, this gets even more ridiculous. Even more ridiculous. In March of 1990, Mrs. Harrington McGill was served a notice stating that her stores would be closed down due to the violation of the health claims law, which said that vitamins, minerals, and herbs were drugs. and could be sold only through doctors and veterinarians on a prescription basis. Ironically, many of the labels of the products in question had already been approved by the FDA, and were you aware that the health claims law says that vitamins and minerals and herbs were drugs and could be sold only through doctors and veterinarians on a prescription basis? Were you aware of that? If you don't like it, you better get a hold of your congressman right now. Right now, and get this stuff thrown out. It's ridiculous. On the advice of her attorney, she requested a trial and appeared before the court on July 10, 1990, where a federal judge insisted that if she would plead guilty to the charges, that she would only be fined $500. Mrs. Harrington McGill and her attorney contended that she should be granted a jury trial, yet a jury trial was denied, and that is a blatant violation of the Constitution of the United States of America, which says that she has a right, and they must. Yet it was denied. On July 12, 1990, the court found her guilty and ordered her to appear at a probation officer's desk and to return for sentencing on August 27, 1990, with no trial. The judge was quoted as saying again, quote, if she would plead guilty to the charges, she would only have to pay a fine of $500 and be released. But if not, she would be sentenced to a maximum security federal prison, unquote. Folks, that's extortion. That's trying to force her to do something under threat, duress, and coercion, which is illegal. It's fraud. It's also not wise for any judge to do anything like that, because he could be impeached for this and should be impeached for this, because this is blatant violation of our creator-endowed rights, violation of the restriction placed upon government by the Constitution, and many, many other things. Isn't this something? The federal judge sentenced her for this first-time misdemeanor, and every time she had gotten FDA approval for the labels, she was still found guilty. Even though she'd requested a trial, it was denied. Sentenced her for this first-time misdemeanor to 179 days in a maximum security federal prison, as well as fining the corporation $10,000. Mrs. Harrington McGill contended that the business was a sole proprietorship. Quote, the fine would still be imposed, unquote, stated the judge. Now, if you look into the affiliations of this judge, I think that you will find some very interesting alignments. The bailiff then put a chain around her waist, cupped her hands, and imprisoned her. After serving 114 days, President Bush signed a revised version of H.R. 3562, and she was released. The bill stated that, quote, vitamins, minerals, and herbs were foods, and that storekeepers should inform their customers what their products did. The FDA told Mrs. Harrington McGill that they had legal jurisdiction over advertising. A blatant lie again. The FDA lies a lot, folks. Not so, said the Congress. Not so, said the Federal Trade Commission in a letter to her in November of 1991, stating that, quote, we are unaware of any law that gives the FDA any jurisdiction over advertising, unquote. Mrs. Harrington McGill has filed a suit with the court charging that the FDA violated her civil and state rights, unlawful search and seizure, and denial of a jury trial. She was denied her freedom of expression and was a victim of selective prosecution, fraud, and other crimes, all illegal, and she is demanding restitution of $15 million. Here's another one, folks. I may not get through all of these in 30 minutes, but I'm going to try. If I don't get through all of them, you can call the number of the Jonathan Wright Legal Defense Fund and ask them to send you a packet, send you this report. Fall 1989, Bioenergy Nutrients, Boulder, Colorado. Three FDA agents appeared at this small marketing company and confiscated an undisclosed quantity of coenzyme Q10, an antioxidant. When a representative of Bioenergy Nutrients asked why the project was being seized, he was told that coenzyme Q10 was, quote, an unapproved food additive, unquote, and, quote, could not be sold without the necessary legal paperwork for an approved additive, unquote. The director of the company contends that he was simply told not to continue selling coenzyme Q10, yet FDA officials never made an attempt to notify the company to cease and desist selling it before the raid. 3 years have now passed as the manager of the company watched other manufacturers of coenzyme Q10 get raided time and time again, several of which have been outright shut down by the FDA due to exorbitant legal fees incurred defending themselves. He is grateful that they have been able to continue doing business without further harassment. Quote, the local branch here in Colorado underwent a series of changes, including the subsequent dismissal of several FDA officials and personnel, unquote. He continued by saying, quote, our case must have fallen between the cracks, unquote. The company has not filed charges for the return of the product seized in the raid, although they should have, nor have there been any charges filed against the company for having sold the product, which there could not have been, because it was not an illegal product. The managers of the company are reluctant to comment on the incident due to the fear of reprisal by the FDA. Noting in previous cases, which I've already disclosed to you folks, that is the FDA's normal pattern. They come and raid with guns, confiscate material that's not illegal, do not profess child charges against anyone, and then when you sue to have your property returned, they come back with another raid and confiscate more property and terrorize more people to try to shut them up. Coenzyme Q10 is a molecule natural to every single body cell, folks. It is recommended widely by Japanese dentists for periodontal disease. For example, there is extensive scientific literature attesting to its safety as a natural product. Traditional natural medical practitioners have found it extremely effective against congestive heart failure and angina pectoris. There are no known side effects. Century Clinic, Reno, Nevada, September 5th, 1990. A search warrant was issued for the premises of Century Clinic by U.S. Magistrate Phyllis Halsey Atkins, authorizing the FDA to search Century Clinic and seize certain items. This warrant, folks, was served on September 6, 1990, and the clinic was closed down for a day while the search and seizure was conducted. It took 14 pages to list the items confiscated in the raid, which was supposed to be limited to the items contained in three short paragraphs attached to the warrant. The Constitution says the warrant must name the exact location to be searched and the exact items to be seized. They don't pay any attention to the Constitution and have not been paying any attention to it for some time. When no charges were filed following this raid, Century Clinic sued the FDA. Now, what do you think happened, folks? What's always happened? The FDA's response was a second raid authorized by a search warrant issued on October 24, 1990 to seize certain items similar to the prior warrant. This warrant, folks, went so far as to authorize the search of the persons and effects of employees of the clinic and vehicles belonging to Dr. Yuen Tang, Dr. Katrina Tang, Mr. William F. McCormick, and Delora Canton, who is the head lab technician. During the second raid, it took an additional 14 pages to inventory items seized. In both raids, a total of approximately 95 patients' charts were seized. They seized the patients' charts. How would you like them to seize your medical charts? The charts were ordered, returned, but were not returned for many months after the order. Needless to say, the confidentiality of the patient's records was breached by these arbitrary actions of the FDA, and what are they doing with the information? On the day of the second raid on the clinic, an agent of the FDA, accompanied by several others, barged into the outpatient treatment room where several patients were both waiting for, as well as receiving treatment. The patients were notified that, quote, the clinic would no longer be giving IVs or other treatments, unquote, and that, quote, they could unhook their IVs and leave, unquote. They went on to say, while introducing another doctor, quote, if they chose to continue receiving treatment, that they would be attended by a physician provided by the FDA, unquote. Patients who were discovered not to have begun their treatment were asked to leave. Despicable, isn't it? Well, I was trying to go through as many of these as I possibly could. There are 18 in all here, and we only covered about 3 or 4. If you would like to get a complete copy of this report, write to the Dr. Jonathan Wright Legal Defense and Victory Fund, Post Office Box 368, Tacoma, Washington, 98401. That's the Dr. Jonathan Wright Legal Defense and Victory Fund, Post Office Box 368, Tacoma, Washington, 98401. While you're at it, enclose a donation in any amount would be appreciated by the Legal Defense and Victory Fund. Okay, folks, you heard the good news at the beginning of this program. We have an opportunity to go worldwide 5 nights a week in prime time late night radio immediately following the Tom Valentine Show. That's 1 hour every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday night immediately following the Tom Valentine Show. We may never get another chance like this again. And my wife and I are putting up every single penny we have, and we are selling many, many of our personal possessions, as many as it takes, to tell you the truth, but we're still going to come up short. To make the show viable and make sure that it sticks and becomes self-supporting, we need about 2 months advance payment for airtime. That's a lot of money. It is a lot of money, folks, and we're still going to be short. So we're asking you to help this happen. Help this come about. What will you get in return for your donation? 20 times the amount of information will be given out to the public each month over the 1 night a week that we've been doing. 20 times the amount of suppressed information will go out to the general public. If you think this is a good idea and you'd like to help, make your checks or money orders out to WWCR. Please don't send cash. Please don't make anything out to me. Make it out to WWCR. Any amount will be appreciated. Please give as much as you possibly can to help this become a reality. Send it to Stan, P.O. Box 889, Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322. It was all of you listeners who wrote to WWCR and called WWCR in support of this program that made this possible. Now I'm going to ask you to do one other thing, folks. Get out your checkbook or go down and purchase a money order in the highest amount that you can possibly afford to donate. Make it out to WWCR. Do not send cash, folks, and do not make it out to me. This is for airtime. Make it out to WWCR and send it to Stan, P.O. Box 889, Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322. Or you can call Stan and talk to him at 602-567-6109. That's 602-567-6109. Annie and I and Little Pooh and all of us connected with the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence wish all of you listening and all of your families a very, very Merry Christmas. Until next time, folks, good night, and God bless each and every one of you.